Good evening, people. Good evening. You are now Boom Boom Roll. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Every single Friday from 5 to 6, the Boom Boom Room will come to you and give you everything in your volunteer basketball needs. Everything shall be answered in the opinion of me, your host, VFL and SEC legend Ron Slay, the host and the founder of the Boom Boom Room. Welcome, people. Every Friday, 5 to 6, 950 WAKM. Always go WAKM on Fridays and 5 to 6, and people tune in, and I guarantee you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. A lot of things to get into before the holidays hit. The Boom Boom Room also is brought to you by Bar Durham, my great friends. Definitely thank them for helping out and getting the Boom Boom Room going this year for season two. Season two, people. Yes, it is. A full season has gone by, and we are here in season two, episode 4 of the Boom Boom Room. Quite a bit of stuff to get into. Left off last week with a huge matchup coming for the UT Volunteers against the Memphis State Tigers. Keep on counting Memphis State. That's the throwback in me. Let me get up to times. The University of Memphis Tigers. University of Memphis Tigers. They came out victorious. Pains me to say. I do say so. It pains me to say that we dropped the ball right up there on good old Rocky Top. Rocky Top, Tennessee. Man, we dropped it. But guess what, people? I'm here to give you every bit of what you should be wanting to hear at any piece of time. I'm here for it. So to fill in all the voids, one thing for sure, you got to witness what I'm going to give you. And if you got anything that you need to say, hold it until I run through it. That's all I'm letting you know. So let's go over the five topics. One tough weekend loss on Rocky Top versus Memphis, rivalry game. Two, a tough road loss Wednesday night to the Cincinnati Bearcats. On the road, man. And there's a lot of things that reared their ugly head in that game. And it kind of left me as a fan and as a player a little distraught. The third thing we'll touch on is, what is wrong with the basketball team? And the reason I'm laughing about that is we become so spoiled. And this is for me also. We lost two in a row. First time since 2 years ago. Lost two games in a row. Two formidable opponents. We'll give them their props. Two teams that, pretty good teams. Do I feel we should have beat them? Yes. On paper, should we have beaten them? Most definitely. But we didn't. So we're going to unravel or peel the layers back, if you will, and find out what's going on with the Big Orange. And is it any time to panic? The fourth one will be a look ahead at the Jacksonville State matchup coming tomorrow, Saturday, a noon tip-off game. And then a small look ahead at the December 28th matchup versus Wisconsin at home. So, quite a few things to get into, people. Bear with me. We'll be right back. This is the Boom Boom Room. I'm Ron Slay, your host. Stay with me.
Hi, I'm Blair Durham. No one expects to be in an accident, but when it happens, it's important to know what to do and who to call. The moments after a wreck are stressful, and our team is waiting to take care of you. You need an experienced lawyer by your side, and that is us. At Bart Durham Injury Law, we have more than 75 years experience helping people just like you. Call us at 615-242-9000 or visit us at bartdurham.com. 615-242-9000, bartdurham.com.
This is the Boom Boom Room. I'm Ron Slay, your host. You know what, people? We're going to dive straight into it. As I said before, tough weekend loss up on Rocky Top. This was built up maybe because it was 9 days between the game. You had exams coming up, people knocking out exams. So you had to have a flexible schedule in order to get this game and be ready for this game. So it was a lot of buildup on TV, by the fans, on social media, people talking smack to each other, even me doing a little smack talking. So this game was circled on the calendar, people. Why? Because also what Penny said at the end of last year in the press conference that guys from Coach Barnes' team was walking over to his team with closed fists, wanting to mix it up a little bit. Said Coach Barnes was low class. Yeah, don't forget that part. I remember that. Said Coach Barnes was low class. So it's a lot of ins and outs of this rivalry game. But the game must be played. And the game was played. Tennessee went down 51-47. Took a 51-47 loss, which is very tough. One being, it broke a 31-game home win streak, one of the longest streaks in the nation. So that toppled that. That was a very impressive feat that the guys were getting, and that should have stayed that way. I think it should have happened, but neither here nor there. So we said it could be an ugly game simply because of it being a rivalry game. And everything, you know, when it goes down like that, would have been a rivalry game. You got guys bickering a little bit, a sloppy play, people rushing, and it just wasn't it wasn't the UT that we were used to. But rivalry games can go like that anytime. So, would it been ugly? That's a bit of an understatement. And let me explain how ugly this game was. UT shot 15 of 60, which was 25% from the field. 15 of 60, people. Now, I've never claimed to be a mathematician, but if a team makes 15 out of 60 shots, I don't know if they can beat Lil Ron. I'm going to be honest with you. But in return, Memphis only shot 19 for 56, so it was ugly on both ends. Three-point percentage, 4 for 26 for UT at 15.4%. 5 for 13 for Memphis, 38.5%. The free throw percentage, I was about even with the guys. 8 for 13 for Memphis, 13 for 18 for UT. Now, this right here was a disturbing factor for me. 39 to 49, a 10 rebounding edge for Memphis. People, that to me is effort and physicality. So that's one thing we are missing from this team early on. Now, granted, the 7-footer Euros is out. Didn't get his eligibility granted by the NCAA. So that was a tragedy for us. Him, a 7-footer, not being in there to anchor the paint, help with rebounding. So we're depending on guys that have never been in that role before, such as Fulkerson, such as Eves Pons. Those guys are, at best, last year role players that were brought in to play in energy minutes, meaning 8 to 12 minutes a game, give us what you got, and get Grant back in, get Admiral back in, get Kyle Alexander back in. So these guys have been thrust into a role that they're not accustomed to yet. Hopefully, when we get to SEC, they'll figure out the nuances of playing in the Boom Boom Room and come up with some of those boards, and I think that would help. But Prince Achiuwa for Memphis had 13 rebounds alone. That was a problem. Turnovers was a bright spot. So if we're looking for any silver lining in that game, It was turnovers. We kept it down to 9 when we normally average 15 a game, 15, 16 a game. So with 9 turnovers, I think you can beat anybody. But you just can't do it when you're shooting 25% from the field and 15% from 3. So we got to get that in order. The Vols were led by Josiah James, a freshman, a rookie in his own right, with 14 points and 5 rebounds. Lamonte Turner, 5 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. 1 for 11 from the field. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Jordan Bowden, 5 points, 2 for 10 from the field. East Pons, 6 points, 3 for 10 from the field. Fulkerson was the bright spot with 9 points and 7 rebounds, and he had about 2 blocks where he was protecting the basket and giving his all out there. But it's only so much you can expect from Fulky. I'm going to be honest, and that's not a knock on him. It's just some people have different abilities, and his is energy guy. So the Tigers were led by DJ Jeffries with 11. Damon Ball from Nashville with 10 points and 6 rebounds. Princess Achiuwa, 8 points and 13 rebounds. Tyler Harris, 11 points. Alex Lomax off the bench with 8 points and 7 rebounds. So to talk about an ugly game, when your two pillars of the basketball team, of the foundation that was left, of the winning program, of Elite Eight appearances, when they go combined 3 for 23, it's going to be tough, man. Now, granted, there's a lot on these guys' shoulders. And last year, they were able to come off the bench and give an immediate impact as far as scoring, especially Bowden, who was thrust into the starting role a lot last year. But Lamonte, he was able to handle the ball, get big shots off, especially against a Kentucky. So one thing for sure, he's been under the bright lights. So we were expecting them to be able to lead these young men, these freshmen, Devontae Gaines, Olivier Kamwa, Drew Pember, expecting them to be able to lead those guys into the bright lights of this rivalry and this atmosphere that was taking place in Knoxville. And if you were fortunate to watch the game or be at the game, you know exactly the atmosphere I'm talking about. So, and it was a home game. So, yes, it was heightened. People were going crazy. But you got to be able to compose yourself and not be rushing shots. And we need you to make shots. So, am I alarmed by Bowden and Turner? No, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I will say, since they answered the bell in the past, this will all come true in SEC play also. So, I'm waiting to SEC play, and then we'll see. One thing that is alarming also, before we go to break, the minutes played by the Vols. You had Lamonte with 40 minutes, Josiah James with 36, Bowden with 34, Fulky with 33, Pons with 25. Had minutes played by Jeffries with 32, Achiuwa with 30, Ball 26, Ellis 25, Lomax 29, Harris 20, Maurice 17. So you see the difference there? We talked about this last show, the depth being a big part of what Memphis is able to do, throwing different bodies at you, playing fast, and it being kind of an Achilles heel right now while we're bringing freshmen along for UT. That being a problem. The guys like Devontae Gaines not being able to step up, especially Jalen Johnson, him not being able to step up and play a more impactful role. Olivier Kamwa's giving you what he has, but he's a freshman. Drew Pember, he's a freshman. So you got these guys trying to step up in these roles that we have grown accustomed to watching a Bowden step up into the role or a Lamonte Turner stepping up in that role. It's totally different right now. Compared to last year minutes, this is why it's happening at an alarming rate with them playing so many minutes. Compared to last year, in this same game, you had AD playing 36 minutes, Grant playing 33 minutes, Bone playing 30 minutes, Kyle Alexander playing 26, Pons with 11, Bowden with 34, Fulky with 20, and then the list goes on and on. You even had Derek Walker getting in the game. So when you go from playing 9 guys, slimming it down to 7 guys, and they playing the bulk of the minutes, Lamonte played 40 minutes. People, college basketball is only 40 minutes. He played the entire game, and that's at point guard. So we're going to dive in a little bit more of this rivalry. I got a special guest with me today, and you all ought to recognize him. He's a favorite right here in the Boom Boom Room, one of the founding fathers of the Boom Boom Room. We'll be right back. This is the Boom Boom Room. I'm Ron Slay, your host. Stay with me.
Hi, I'm Blair Durham. No one expects to be in an accident, but when it happens, it's important to know what to do and who to call. The moments after a wreck are stressful, and our team is waiting to take care of you. You need an experienced lawyer by your side, and that is us. At Bart Durham Injury Law, we have more than 75 years experience helping people just like you. Call us at 615-242-9000 or visit us at bartdurham.com. 615-242-9000, bartdurham.com.
All right, people, welcome back to the Boom Boom Room. It's me, your host, right here every Friday, 5 to 6, right here on 950 WAKM. Boom Boom Room is brought to you by our good friends, Bart Durham. We appreciate them. And now, people, my guest this week, the one, the only, the gateway tie man himself, Garth Bolden. Guess what, Garth? We appreciate you being here. You got anything you want to say to the people? Welcome back to the Boom Boom Room, first of all.
Well, you know, I'm glad the Boom Boom Room's still going.
Yes, it
is. You know, so, Ron, congratulations. I'm proud of you. Yes, I was on here the inaugural evening of the Boom Boom Room, and, man, I'm proud of you. So I appreciate you having me today. I'm honored to be here with you, and we'll see how we roll through this Boom Boom Room.
There we go. So we left off talking about the Memphis rivalry, and people, it is a lot to unpack in the Memphis rivalry. So not only with the basketball team itself, but the things that are hovering around Memphis basketball. This game was supposed to be a huge game, and it was on ESPN for a reason. Still was a big game. One, for the class that Penny brought in. Two, because of the rivalry. And three, the recruiting battle in the state between these two teams. It pays dividends if you win the game. Let's just say that. So one guy that was missing from this game was James Wiseman, the number one pick, the number one guy in this class, and probably will be a future number one pick. What do you think about that, Bob?
He's definitely a lottery pick.
Right.
He may not be the number one, but he's definitely a lottery pick. And, you know, he's skilled, mm-hmm. he's big, and he'll make an easy transition into the NBA. So I don't know if he'll be the number one pick, but he certainly will be a lottery pick.
Right. Okay, so there you have it. People, especially from this area in Tennessee, mid-state, all the way to the east to the west, people know this guy's game. He was right here in Nashville, the situation that took place. He was he left Innsworth High School, went down to Memphis East, where he also played with Team Penny and AAU, stayed there for the next 2 years. It came back up that $11,000. They had it down to the last cent. But around $11,500 was given to him for the move from Nashville to Memphis. And the NCAA brought up an investigation, I guess, that they had against Penny. And the recourse of it was James Wiseman had to sit out. Now, people, we're going to get right back to the rivalry soon. But we want to touch on the topic. As a kid, as an 18-year-old kid who really comes from a family that is not well off, I think I'm safe to say that, knowing his family, not as far as monetary, the money part of the family, coach giving you money to move down, I don't see anything wrong with it. At the time, Penny was a high school coach. Yeah, the Memphis job may have been looming for him in the future, but He didn't have the job. Yes, he's an alumni. The kid played for his AU team. So to get him down there to play high school ball for 2 years, I don't see anything wrong with it. It is what it is. It happens all the time in football, every other sport. The problem I do have with it, and Garth, you can add in on this. The NCAA gave James Wiseman a suspension where he can't play until conference play starts. So Wiseman got to play two or three games, in his freshman debut. Did pretty good. Then went up to the Field Night tournament in Portland and played good again. The next game, he was able to play, and then after that, all ceased. So James Wiseman has no longer been playing with Memphis. He missed his huge game on ESPN, a great rivalry game. A lot of people were expecting to see him play, and maybe only get one chance to see him play. So nothing happens to Penny. James Wiseman takes the bad end of the stick on this one and has to sit out. What do you think about the NCAA's ruling on this, and do you think it's fair? So feel free to elaborate on this one, Gar.
Well, I touched on this. As you know, I have a halftime segment during football games, the Matthews Team Sports, and I touched on this the evening that came out of his suspension. And, you know, there's a broader picture here. Not only does it involve the NCAA, but it also involves the TSSAA. Because at the time, James Wiseman was at Innsworth, right. Playing at Innsworth. He moves to Memphis, and he's paid by his high school coach, which is the AAU coach. Right. Team Penny's been around for a long time. Very, very quality program. Has sent a lot of great athletes through their program. So you've got a TSSAA ramification there of, you know, an illegally move, in my opinion. Now, whether or not that was illegal, I don't know. But if the TSSAA really wanted to get involved, they probably could go back and forfeit games that he played in high school.
Right.
That's one avenue. That's a totally different avenue than we're discussing. Mm-hmm. In my, you know, as we all know, Even before Penny was coaching at Memphis, he was the avenue for many of the athletes that went into Memphis State.
No doubt about it.
So he was a donor and a large donor of the athletic program, and then becomes the coach. And I touched on that evening, and the coach that I was interviewing, I sort of shocked him. You know, why are you penalizing a young man? Why are you not penalizing the coach? Penny should have been reprimanded and not allowed to coach just as many games as you penalize a player.
Exactly.
You know, it goes on. You and I have talked about this many a times, the amount of money changing hands between donors, players.
Right.
It's in all sports, and it's rampant. I mean, it's not just basketball. But, yes, in my opinion, if you're going to penalize James Wiseman, the kid who was a pawn in this situation.
Especially at that time. He had to be 16 years old at that time.
Exactly. So he's the pawn. That involves his family, that involves Penny.
Right.
And then Penny goes through unscathed, not a slap on the wrist, nothing. But yet you're going to take away the freedom of a young man to play. I think the NCAA is totally lost credibility in how they handle situations.
Right. And do you think, looking ahead, is this weighing in on kids that are one and done, like a Wiseman? Do you think they look at it as, hey, I'm only going – same thing happened to Ben Simmons. Do you think I'm going to school for 4 to 5 months to play at a university, and then I'm getting ready for the NBA for the one and done guys? Do you think they look at it as now – if the rule is passed that they can just go out and go to play in a pro league like Australia or something or whatever it may be, do you think they would look at it as no need for me to go to the NCAA, any college or anything, because I'm going to be treated totally different when I know I'm one and done, a top 15 pick, such as a Wiseman, and now they bring up allegations that happened 2-3 years ago and he gets suspended for it? and nothing happens to the coach who's been paid millions of dollars, do you think the kids look at that and be and will look at it and say, man, I don't even want to go to college and just go straight to the pros?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that, Ron. I think that what's going to happen, and it's going to happen very soon, is players that are one and done, whether they are one and done.
Right.
Some of them think they're one and done.
We're talking about the guys, the elite guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they're going to find other avenues. They can go overseas, play, then come back to the NBA. Yes, I mean, I think it's going to happen very quickly, because with what happened to James Wiseman, that is going to open the eyes of a lot of players. Now, that easily could open up, which is another topic, but that could easily open up a Nike or an Adidas or somebody to say, okay, we're going to form our own league, a private entity, our own league for one and dones.
Mm-hmm.
Then the NCAA is going to have to say, okay, you go play in that league, you cannot come back into college and participate in NCAA sports.
Right.
Which I see that as, they shouldn't be allowed to come back. Right. But that puts the burden on the shoulders of that player.
Mm-hmm.
If you come out and you go into that, then you're gonna forfeit any NCAA participation.
Very true.
But what stops Nike? What stops Adidas?
Nothing.
Anybody starting their own league of one and dones?
Mm-hmm.
Why not do it?
I totally agree. I totally agree. And I think looking at it, it's going to hurt the NCAA so much. And I don't think they recognize it, because they're in their blueprint and staying with it. But if these guys leave, man, a dent is going to be left in college basketball that I don't know if you can get it back, because then the mid majors and those guys come into play, and the shoe contract, the shoe brands like Nike, Adidas, those are guys really just gonna win in this situation.
Well, yes, but if you think about it, if Nike or anybody choose, why give money to mid majors and all that? Just put your money into your own league.
Right.
And therefore you've got a totally different animal.
Yeah.
And so it could happen,
and
it could happen actually very soon, because this isn't going away.
Right.
Somebody else is going to – it's going to happen to someone else. Once the FBI investigation comes out of what all happened with – and that was just Adidas.
Right.
So, I mean, you and I both have seen the EYBL.
Totally different.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Adidas is on one level.
Yeah.
Nike's on a different level.
Right.
That EYBL league, and folks, if you want to see some basketball and see how these athletes are treated, just go to an EYBL event, and you will see that these athletes, they show up and they play basketball, and that's all they're expected to do.
Right. Anything else, it's water under the bridge for them. Like, this is a drop in the hat for these shoe companies. And I think, man, going forward, like, I think the kid, LaVar Ball's son, not Lonzo, but LaMelo Ball going overseas and playing basketball and skipping college, I think it's going to set a precedent. I think a lot of kids are going to be able to do this. Will it hurt the guys that think they're good, like you were talking about? Most definitely. And I don't know how they're going to tailor it, but the NCAA should get a control of this before, like you said, it gets out of hand. Because once it goes, it's going, and it's gonna be bananas.
Well, I think they've already lost control of it, and I think that they've got to try to find a way to get it back under control. I'm not sure that they can at this stage of the ball game. But the sad part about that, Ron, is you take your Admiral Schofields, your Grant Williams, your Jordan Bones.
Right.
They were not one and done.
Exactly.
But they're all in the NBA.
Right.
And they're making good money.
Mm-hmm.
They got their education. But they also got taught by a man about life.
Yeah.
Coach Barnes taught them about life.
Yeah.
And, you know, these one and dones, they miss out on that.
Yes, they do.
I mean, you know, yes, they're physically – I mean, James Wiseman is a beast.
Yeah.
I mean, Ron, you're a pretty big fella.
Right.
But James Wiseman makes you look small.
Yes, he does.
I saw him play in the state tournament.
Yeah.
He he is a beast.
Yeah.
Physically.
Mm-hmm.
But what about mentally?
Right.
So
right.
These athletes, these one and dones, they get thrust into the real world.
Mm-hmm.
They get all of this money handed to them, but they don't know what to do in the real world.
Yeah.
And which leads to, you know, them getting involved with handlers that are taking care of their money, taking money from them, whatnot. So, you know, it's an avenue that I don't think the NCAA can stop.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's going to be a sad day for a lot of athletes because they're going to miss out on how to adjust to life.
Right.
Because they're mentally not ready.
Right. And that right there, people, this is one of our first conversations in the Boom Boom Room. Really one of Gar's first conversations sitting down talking about when the cheering stops. So that right there, like being able to be taught by Coach Barnes more than basketball, about life, about having a foundation, about having a belief in Christ, all of these things fall in line. And you can see that with guys like on the Tennessee basketball team, like you mentioned Grant and Admiral and Kyle Alexander also. Like these guys were going along in college and getting baptized. You don't see that too often.
No, you don't. And you didn't see that
mm-hmm.
before Coach Barnes got there. And what that relates to is the fact that you've got a head coach and there's not a lot of them out there.
Right.
That, you know, basketball is secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, it's a great game.
Right.
You played it.
Right.
You've been successful. But you just alluded to it.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when the lights go off and then the lights of real world come on?
Right.
Man, it's a big adjustment.
Right.
And it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asked by that a lot because of my involvement when I was at the University of Tennessee. I've been asked by a lot of people and about what my beliefs are on seeing these athletes. And I've said this time and time again, and you went down the road yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You were
mm-hmm.
a five-star.
Right.
You're expected to do one thing.
Right.
And that's show up,
yeah.
win basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is taken care of.
Right.
You don't have to worry about it.
Right, nothing.
Not a dogged thing.
yeah.
But then when it's done,
yeah.
you're like going, what's next?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard adjustment.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, we talk about Penny.
Mm-hmm.
Is Penny doing that with his players?
Right.
Or is he more focused about the one and done?
Exactly. And he said in a comment, like, over here in Memphis, we're focused on getting guys to the NBA. So that was a bait thrown out to one and done guys to try to get those recruits to come in. But what about the teaching of life, like you're talking about? I know for a fact, I got plenty of friends that play pro that have never paid a bill in their life directly. Now, yeah, they've got a financial advisor or something like that to take care of the bill, but really don't know how to go in somewhere, pay a bill, or even write a check.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like you put these athletes on pedestals and they're one and done and they're guys you look up to, but off the court, man, if you don't have any structure or any foundation, man, you really lost, honestly. You really lost.
Well, it takes a person to really soul search
mm-hmm.
to, you know, like you experienced yourself.
Right.
And we've discussed this off air
mm-hmm.
many times about, you know, when that wake-up call occurs, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, what do I do?
Right.
And, you know, and that's why this platform of you, the Boom Boom Room, and what you're doing is so important, because to all of you parents that are listening to this show, do not fail to understand that football, basketball, baseball, all that's secondary.
Right.
That young person's life is more important and has to be viewed and taken care of. It's fragile.
Mm-hmm.
And when they realize it, it's too late.
Yeah, yeah, you are exactly right. This is Garth Bolden, our special guest today with Gateway Tires. I'm Ron Slay, your host in the Boom Boom Room, brought to you by Bart Durham. People, stay right here with us. I know we're getting a little deep for you in the Boom Boom Room. Hey, but that's part of it. You got to get deep in the paint, pull the layers back. And we'll be right back, people. Stay right here with us.
Hi, I'm Blair Durham. No one expects to be in an accident, but when it happens, it's important to know what to do and who to call. The moments after a wreck are stressful, and our team is waiting to take care of you. You need an experienced lawyer by your side, and that is us. At Bart Durham Injury Law, we have more than 75 years experience helping people just like you. Call us at 615-242-9000 or visit us at bartdurham.com. 615-242-9000, bartdurham.com.
All right, people, we are back in the Boom Boom Room. This is your host, Ron Slay, joined by special guest Garth Bolden, Gateway Tires. People, what we're giving you is information to stay awake, honestly, especially if you got kids that have aspirations of playing college ball, one day if they're fortunate enough to play pro, just raising an athlete to see more than just the sport, see outside the sport, see developing as a young man or young lady, whichever it may be. And parents, take heed to what we're telling you. Like, we're gonna have in the future a show just on this topic. I can guarantee. Like, it's no hiding, there's no running away from it. It is right here in our face, and it's getting more and more evident as the years go along. So to get back to it real quick. Let's talk about the road loss to Cincinnati. This is when a lot of things came to the light about Tennessee basketball, and it was kind of ugly sight. So a little bit of spillover from the Memphis game. The road loss to the Bearcats. It was a significant win for the Bearcats, knowing that they just lost an ugly game against Colgate. And the game before that, they lost a crosstown rivalry game versus Xavier. But the Colgate loss was a really bad loss. To walk you through it, it was 10 seconds left. Colgate went down, shot a shot. Cincinnati came up with the rebound. And the returning player of the year in their conference, Jerron Cumberland, got the rebound, pushed it. And it was about 4 seconds left. I guess he lost track of the time, and he heaved it from half court, and it hit the backboard. And Colgate got the rebound and was racing down court. And the same person, Jerron Cumberland, that shot the ball too early, fouled the guy from Colgate with about 0.2 seconds left. The guy from Colgate went to the line, knocked down two free throws, and that's how Cincinnati lost the game. So they had a lot going on, man, to lose to a mid-major like that. And then you got Tennessee rolling into town, ranked 21st. They're coming off a big loss. So something has to give in this situation. Their coach had them ready to play and had them fired up. UT came out with another bad outing, this time defensively, though. One of Tennessee's worst defensive performances in the Coach Barnes era, which is – that's saying a lot because his foundation is built on defense. He has guys on his team that he will not play regardless of talent. Jordan Bone being one of those guys early in his career could not get on the floor and stay on the floor because of his defensive, Coach Barnes' defensive philosophy and him not abiding to it. So the field goal percentage went as such. We did shoot the ball better. We shot 23 for 51 at a total 45%. Cincinnati shot 31 for 55, 56%. From three, they shot 5 for 15, 33%. UT still couldn't throw it in the ocean. We shot 3 for 15 from 20 for 20%. Beautiful at the line, shot 17 and 17, 100%. Free throws for Cincinnati was 11 for 16. The other problem we had in the Memphis game that I alluded to was the rebounding. We out rebounded by 10 against Memphis. This game we turned around and was out-rebounded by 11 with Cincinnati. 21 total rebounds. That's hard to deal with. Like I said before, that's effort and energy to me. That's how you close out possessions on the defensive ends by getting the defensive rebound. So the possession doesn't stop until you can get that rebound. Turnovers, UT, back to the ugly part of it, 18 turnovers. So we had nine. We went in double that this game against Cincinnati, had 18. Now, granted, Cincinnati had 16 turnovers, but we can't do that. Tennessee, we can't come back and have 18 turnovers and expect to beat anybody, especially in the SEC. So that is a problem. UT did have 10 steals that didn't lead to transition points. So I left off last show by telling you all we have to manufacture some points by getting some steals and getting out in transition and creating some easy buckets. And we wasn't able to do that. We were led by Fulkerson with 14-2. Lamonte Turner had 12 points. Jordan Bowden had 13 points and 6 assists. East Pons had 11. Josiah James had 8. And Devontae Gaines off the bench in his career-high minutes, playing 17 minutes, he had 4. Cincinnati was led by Trey Scott with 15 points and 7 rebounds. Voit, a big guy in the middle, 7-footer in the middle, where we really could have used Euros. This young man had 11 points. Jerron Cumberland, the preseason conference player of the year and last year's reigning conference player of the year. We held him only to 10, but the 10 points that he had were very impactful, and the timing of them kind of hurt the Vols in the second half. Williams had 11. Adams Woods had 11. And Jerron Cumberland's brother, Jevion Cumberland, had 11. So Cincinnati got 46 points in the paint. Did we think we would ever miss Kyle Alexander so much from anchoring the middle? I'm not sure, but 46 points in the paint, that is a lot of points. That's more than half of the points. So, people, you got to do something. I mean, you got to do something. You got to anchor the middle. East Pons and Fulkerson are doing a terrific job as they can, but they are being pushed around a little bit and are a little light. Don't have the weight to hold down the anchor in the boom boom room, but hopefully they'll get it together. Losing Derek Walker, which would have gave us some bulk, losing Grant Williams early to the league, Kyle Alexander to graduation, and Euros not being eligible hurts a lot. The Bearcats were coming off, like I said, the rivalry loss and then the Colgate loss, and it was the first loss for UT in a back-to-back game since 2 seasons ago, where they lost to Auburn and Arkansas 2 years ago. But, whew, that's a lot. It's a lot. With all this being said, that'll lead us right into our next topic, and we'll get Garth back in here to talk with us and try to figure out what's wrong with the Vols. So, to me, my opinion, we'll go over first what's wrong with the Vols, and then later we'll tap on, is it time to panic? One, people, the Vols haven't been able to throw it in the ocean as of late from 3. So they shot 15% from 3 from Memphis and against Memphis, and shot 20% from 3 versus Cincinnati. Now, me, I believe that it's different when you throw guys in there such as a Bowden or Lamonte Turner, who are known for being spot-up shooters. Lamonte can create a shot quite a bit, but you're coming off of 2 years where you've grown accustomed to a guy being in the middle to throw it to and the defense collapsing to him and him being very unselfish and kicking the ball back out and making plays for other guys and getting them wide open. And you just picking, you're like shooting fish in the barrel. So, Garth, I ask you, what do you think the adjustments could be for a Jordan Bowden or Lamonte Turner to try to get their shot going? Is it just a point of staying in the gym? Do you have to find other ways to get them going as far as not taking long-range outside shots? But we know Coach Barnes, his strategy and his offense is accustomed to having guys in the low post. Without that low post presence, how does Jordan Bowden and Lamonte Turner improve their shooting percentage?
Well, Jordan Bowden, I mean, we know that Coach Barnes expects hard work out of his players away from the gym. I mean, when they're free time, he expects them to be putting up shots. With Bowden, you know, Bowden seems to be just have a little bit of confidence issue right now with his shot. With Lamonte Turner, that's a little more difficult. He's playing the point guard position. Right. And to shoot the three ball playing from the point guard position, that's difficult. Mm-hmm. What alarms me the most about that is Lamonte Turner's inability to create his own shot as right. far as for penetration or whatnot. When you rely on the three ball, there's other parts of the game that can suffer. And, you know, Bowden is as athletic as anyone. Mm-hmm. He can get to the rim. But Bowden needs to, Bowden is a confident issue.
Right.
Lamonte Turner, you said it a while ago, he's playing 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. When you play that much of the game, what's the first thing that go? It's your legs. And the most important thing in a shot is your legs. Mm-hmm. So could fatigue be playing a factor? It very well could be.
Right.
So Coach Barnes has got to find some relief to get these guys some minutes. To give them a break, because we're not talking about college basketball.
Right.
We're talking about up and down a shot clock. Or excuse me, we're not talking about high school ball. We're
right.
talking about college basketball, where there's a shot clock, and it's 40 minutes of getting up and down that floor.
Right.
So, I'm not ready to panic,
mm-hmm.
but I certainly think this team has yet to find their identity.
Right.
And that's scary going into SEC play.
Yes, it is. I totally agree with that. Totally agree. I think some of the problem is them, like you said, having to work so hard for their shots when they're so accustomed to guys getting it out and being a spot-up shooter. I think also there's no real post presence, like I alluded to with East Pons and Fulke. I think they are throwing the ball into them enough, but those guys just, I mean, they don't have – all of the moves to create a double team or make the defense fall down and help, whether you can leave open shooters outside and you kick it out and they make shots. I think once they get along in the SEC play, if they can manufacture easy buckets, like working the angles in the boom, boom, room to even to get buckets instead of allowing guys to play them one-on-one where nobody has to help, I think that'll open up a lot for us. Another thing is the transition points. I keep saying this and harping on it. We have to find a way to manufacture easy points. It's not coming from our two main scorers as far as jumpers, and that's difficult. That is difficult. These guys, like Garf alluded to, with them playing 40 minutes, 36 minutes a game, and one thing you have to do is defend on the other end. So, like he said, with the legs being – and they might not be gone, but to us, in the percentages – if you're looking at it, it's a reason the shots aren't falling. Yeah, Bowden most definitely could be a confidence issue, but if you take him off the ball a little bit more and let Josiah James run the point, I think that'll help out a lot. I think we got to see that a lot last year with Grant Williams early on in the season, being able to bring the ball up. And Josiah James was a point guard in high school.
He was, and he was recruited to be a point
right.
guard. And, you know, but there's one thing that's making the opponents have ease against the Vols. They're not respecting Fulkerson's ability.
Right.
They're not respecting Pond's ability to score.
Mm-hmm.
So when the ball goes in, instead of a double team and help coming over to help the ball, the easy shots, ball goes in,
right.
ball goes back out, you've got an easy look.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, you know, which happened last year.
Totally.
The ball would go into Grant Williams. He was double teamed. Ball would kick back out to Admiral Schofield or Bowden last year or Turner,
mm-hmm.
and they had the open looks.
Yep.
That's not happening this year.
Right.
The defenders are playing one-on-one, and it's not, you know, it's not happening. In last night's case, it was one of the worst defensive efforts that I've seen from a Coach Barnes team, and therefore there was not any offense created from defense.
Right.
And
right.
you get out-rebounded, you don't play good defense, you're going to lose a lot of basketball
guaranteed.
Games. And so do I think Coach Barnes can get it corrected? These players have not bought in to what the previous teams have bought in.
Right.
And that is, like you said a while ago, Jordan Bone hated to play defense.
Yes, he did.
He hated to play defense in high school. He hated to play defense
sure
in AAU.
Did. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Coach Barnes did bench him mm-hmm. on a number of occasions. This year, he doesn't have the depth right. to be able to bench somebody that's not playing good defense.
Right.
And that trust factor has to happen. When that happens, they've got the athletes. Yeah. They should be okay.
Yeah. But I think Coach Barnes alluded to that, too, in his press conference Monday, saying that even coming off the Memphis loss before this game, that the team wasn't buying in, and he doesn't know how many times he's going to have to tell the team over and over that we're going to have to win as a team. We don't have the go-to guy that we can play through, and he calm everything down when the water gets rocky. But in this situation, guys think that they can do it on their own, and you're kind of seeing that. Lamonte Turner trying to go one-on-one, Jordan Bowden taking rush shots. I've never seen Jordan jump so high on his shots. So that's with shots over hand and everything. So Coach Barnes sees it, and apparently he's telling the guys, and he said the sooner they buy into it, the better team they'll be. So
well, there was too much individualism last night.
Right.
I mean, a lot of dribbling, just way too much dribbling.
That's not his system.
Eve Pond shooting the three ball.
Right.
I mean, good grief.
Right.
I mean, the easy ways, pass the ball, get open looks, that didn't happen last night.
Didn't.
So that was not the volunteer team we've been seeing last year. This year, it's a different look.
Yeah, it is. So that brings us to, we went over what's wrong with the Vols, what we believe is wrong with them. Now is it time to panic? In my opinion, Garf also said it. No, I don't think so. To me, no, it's not time to panic. And to answer why, I feel like we still have a feather in the cap with the big win over Washington early in the season to go into SEC play. Get a quality win over Wisconsin on the 28th. Next Saturday, I think that could help. Even though Wisconsin's not a great team, but it will be a win against a Big Ten opponent, which will help. Also, open up with a nationally televised game versus a good LSU team. I think them coming back into Knoxville will spark something going in the SEC play. And people, it's still early in the season. Like, I know we have grown accustomed as fans to seeing our Vols play a Kansas to the wire, play a Gonzaga and get the win, and you know, all of this building up and them being number one in the nation. Hey, man, we lost 4 out of 5 of the guys to the NBA, and it's not too many college teams that can say that and bounce right back. You know, we got a lot of freshmen. So I think going in the SEC play, the film work will be done, and we'll look at it totally different in the months to come. The things that we need fixing are also things that we can fix. So controlling defense, controlling rebounding, the scoring. Scoring is just getting in the gym, having confidence, like Garf said, and putting the ball in the hole. Just continue doing your work, and the work will catch up, and you'll get your product, and you'll have impact. The defense and rebounding, that's all effort, and trusting in what the system is that Coach Barnes has laid down and the coaching staff. And you trust in that system, one thing for sure, it's worked in the past, so why wouldn't it work now? That's for sure. Also, this team could peak at the right time. So that's what I'm gonna keep that in my back pocket, knowing that we're going in the SEC play, and it's not about how you start, but how you finish, especially in conference play. You have a horrible non-conference record and going to SEC play in the conference play and turn it all the way around to finish second or third and jump right into the SEC tournament and do good, and then the NCAA tournament and so forth and so on. So I think it's not time to panic. Garf, you got anything to add to that?
Slay, it's like the game of golf. It's
right.
not how you drive, it's how you arrive.
There we go.
And they got to peak when they reach the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament.
Right.
That's when the lights need to be really shining bright, and they need to be playing together as a team and getting it done.
Yeah. Hey, well, people, that right there was some of our opinions on the Vols, what they need to do, telling you to hold your horses before you panic and throw in the towel. I know you've grown accustomed to a top 10 team. This is not a rebuilding, but I would say just plugging in pieces that are so young and never been in this situation before, because we do have the pieces. Now that we are missing Euros, as a guy also in the low post, a 7-footer that could help, and also Victor Bailey, who transferred. So looking ahead, not saying that, you know, we're just going to write this season off, but You got a guy, Jaden Springer, coming in. You got a guy, Keon Johnson. Victor Bailey will be eligible. Euros will be eligible with a college year experience under his belt. So the future is totally bright, but we're not going to write the season off. We're going to look ahead when we get right back, close out the show at the Jacksonville State game coming up tomorrow. And then also on December 28th, the Wisconsin game. This is the Boom Boom Room. I'm your host, Ron Slate, with special guest Garth Bolden. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Blair Durham. No one expects to be in an accident, but when it happens, it's important to know what to do and who to call. The moments after a wreck are stressful, and our team is waiting to take care of you. You need an experienced lawyer by your side, and that is us. At Bart Durham Injury Law, we have more than 75 years experience helping people just like you. Call us at 615-242-9000 or visit us at bartdurham.com. 615-242-9000, bartdurham.com.
All right, people, here we are to wrap it up. You're back in the room. That is the Boom Boom Room with the host, Ron Slay. Special guest, Garth Bolden with Gateway Tires. Brought to you by Bart Durham. People, there's one team that's going to be in trouble, and I'm going to tell you why. It's not UT, not them by far, but Jacksonville State. Man, they got to walk into a hornet's nest into Rocket Top. Do you know how Coach Barnes is going to be on these young men in practice? Now, Garth, I haven't been to a practice, but I have seen behind the scenes and how Coach Barnes expects them to play. And we've seen in the game how he acts on the sideline when they miss an assignment or something. Can you imagine coming off his worst defensive effort and have to have 2 days of practice leading up to a game where, and this is no knock to Jacksonville State, but I expect Coach Barnes to treat this like a practice also, to run guys in and out, to let the guys on the bench go and try to prove themselves, to get minutes, you know, leading up, going in to play to Wisconsin and then to the SEC conference play. I think a lot is riding on the shoulders of these young men and wanting to get back out there and play on Saturday versus Jacksonville State. I think they're chomping at the bits. What do you think?
Well, we know that Coach Barnes is—he's a very intense coach.
Right.
So you can amplify his practices, and especially after two losses back to back.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious! They're definitely going to want to play Saturday to forget about the practices that they're going to have to go through, because you know it's going to be a very defensive-oriented practice. I'm sure.
Without a doubt. And there you have it, people. That is it. People, enjoy your holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll be back on the air before then, but I just want to throw that out to you. If you're traveling, travel safe. Godspeed to you. This is me, Ron Slate, signing off right here in the Boom Boom Room. The man on the board, that's Jason Tomlin. That's the person providing you tunes in and out of the break. Bart Durham, we appreciate you for helping out with the Boom Boom Room. Garth Bolden, appreciate you coming through, sliding in here in the Boom Boom Room. You're welcome back anytime.
Always fun, Ron. Merry Christmas.
There it is. People, appreciate it. We're gone.